World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, how about this? 6-16-26. That's where we are today. 6-16-26. I don't know what all those sixes mean, but some numerologist out there could probably tell us something. 6-16-26. I don't know what it means, but I'm here. Happy to be here today. And a thousand different directions to go. As I often say, Lord, let the words of our lips, meditation of our heart, be pleasing in your sight today. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in a crucible, man. There's stuff breaking loose all around us. Big Mike, huh? Michelle Obama is a man. What's going on? What the hell's going on in America? Is Michelle Obama a man? I want to apologize, although that's not the right word. Yesterday, I think, probably was the longest monologue maybe in the history of Coach Dave. By the way, I found something else out. My microphone isn't working real good. Is that better, Spencer, if I do go up there? He said that doesn't help either. So we'll get our microphone fixed because some people say, sometimes coaches just fade out and I can't hear. Well, I don't want to yell all the time. So Spencer, we got to figure out maybe a way to up our microphone here. But yesterday was, that was a long monologue yesterday, long one. And one of the things that, you know, that I try to pride myself on, although that's not the right word. It's about what you think. It's not about what I think. I mean, I don't mind asking the questions and I don't want it to become a pulpit where I tell everybody what the Bible says and do this, because that's how we end up with 46,000 different denominations. And this is a free give and take. What do you think? What's the theme at Coach Dave Live? Who told you that? And why do you believe him? And I continue to ask that question. I got even more stuff today. And thank you, because I got a lot of thumbs up yesterday about the clarification of the Jews, Ashkenazi Jews, Khazar Jews, bloodline Jews, none of it being anti-Semitic, which is the word they always try to throw into our face, ain't got nothing to do with it. It has to do with history. And I got a few thumbs up about when I brought forward Tiger Woods, all the ethnicities involved with Tiger Woods, yet the American media calls him black. Right? Oh, there I go, Vinny, racist. See, right there, that's a racist thought right there, right? Because I know Vinny's a black guy and Vinny's in here. So I got to say something for the black guys. See how they've programmed us? Just programmed us? Vinny's a good dude. By the way, Vinny, you're built like Big Mike, aren't you, Vinny? Maybe you're Big Mike in disguise out there. Can that be Vinny? Yeah. Tell me you ain't doing that, Vinny.
So, yeah, I'm built pretty big except for the missing leg.
Oh, man. So, folks, no matter what we do, it is so hard for us not to play into the stereotypes that they've created for us. They've created these stereotypes, and it's hard for us to fight out from under them, right? People call me a zealot, a Christian zealot. Well, Spencer, that'd be a good place to start here real quickly today. What's a zealot? What is a zealot? Didn't they accuse Jesus and his followers of being zealots? A zealot is one who engages warmly in any cause and pursues his object with earnestness and ardor. It is generally used in dispraise. That's right. A zealot is someone who is used as a mocking. It's a mocking. He's a zealot. It's generally used as dispraise or applied to one whose ardor and intemperate and censurable. The fury of zealots was one cause of the destruction of Jerusalem. Isn't that interesting? Zealot. Proud zealot here. Proud zealot. Anybody know any football zealots? Anybody know any basketball, Major League Baseball zealots? Anybody know any zealot? Folks, there's nothing wrong with being a zealot over the things that really matter. And I say it every day, or try to say it every day here. I ain't got it all figured out. I ain't got it all figured out. So if you come here to Coach Dave Live in the morning and you leave mad, it's your fault. It's not mine. Because if somebody questioning your belief system, your theology, pisses you off, you got the problem. Not the person questioning it. Huh? You never convinced me my wife's going to go out on me. You can say all you want. No way. Why? Because I know her. No, she's not going to. But see, theology is a little bit different because 46,000 different denominations. None of them believe in the same thing. Yeah, I got a little bit of pushback yesterday saying something about the people. You're not allowed to say anything again. You're not allowed to say anything about the Jews, right? Yeah, I got some pushback from it. That's okay, because you come here, we throw a piece of meat down on the table, we cut it up, we eat it, and then at the end of the day, we leave here friends. I hope. So I'm digging into some more stuff here today. The big news. Oh, wait a minute, I got to do that. Ray LeBlanc is joining me tonight on WCNTV.com. Pull that up here, Spencer. Ray and I are going to talk tonight about what he did with the drag queens up here. And I'm subbing in for Rob. It's live, and I always like it when we have a good studio audience. So I'd love for you, Coach Dave Livers, to come over and join. By the way, look at that. Last few I've sat in, there's David Arthur's been in there. Stay right. David Arthur's been there. Mark Trump's been there. Mark Harrington's been there. Craig Mickle's been there. JR's been there. Yeah. Hey, kind of a blending here at WCNTV. Whatever. How is it? What is that? WCNTV. Yeah, it's all good, man. It's all good. Good. Hey, let me ask you a question. Can somebody explain to me why your pastor has to be the biblical expert in your church? Anybody explain that to me? Who made him the expert? What's the theme here, Coach Dave Live? Who told you that, and why do you believe him? Well, who told the pastor that? Well, he learned it from somebody else. What the heck? Do you hear that over there? My wife's... they got something AI plugged in over there and answered me. Some AI. Anyway. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Cool. Let me call. But, hey, before I get going to... Oh, I sounded... I'm losing... I really am losing my mind or something, I think, right? So tonight, 6 o'clock live. Join us. Homepage, WCNTV. Join us for that, right? Love for you to be able to do that. And then the big news. Hang on, coach. Look at, make sure I get this right. Got that. Okay. Pull up the big mic thing so you guys don't think I'm crazy, okay? Maybe some of you haven't seen it yet. This is all the rage across the internet. Go ahead and play that.
When Joan tried to tell us, we just thought it was jive. She stood nearly 6 feet and weighed 185. Kind of wide at the shoulder, those proportions were odd. So we started to wonder if she wasn't abroad. That's Big Mike. Big Mike. Big Black Mike.
Big Mike.
He drifted into D.C. like a fabulous queen.
But don't piss him off, cause he gets really mean.
Somebody said he came from Chicagoland with those muscular arms and that big bony hand. That's Big Mike.
Big Mike.
All right, you can take it down. Take it down. Folks, this is another one of those things that isn't going to go away. It isn't going to go away, right? And this is what precipitated it all. I don't know if you saw this. After the big UFC fight the other night at the White House, this guy who won the match said this. This is what set it all off. Go ahead.
Get surprised the crowd with a shocking statement during the UFC Freedom 250 event on the White House lawn on Sunday. After Okit won his bout against fellow heavyweight Derek Lewis, he said this during his post-match interview with Joe Rogan.
Michelle Obama is a man. Am I right, America?
Some in the crowd could be heard laughing, while others seemed shocked. All right. Rogan did not.
I'm sorry. A little bit of levity here this morning. Big Mike. I don't know. Nothing hidden that will not be revealed. Okay, that's where I stop. So I'm going to stop right now. I got some great stuff I want to throw up here today. I'm going to open it up to you here a little bit because I went. It was all about me yesterday for like 45 minutes, and I got some more good stuff to dump on you, Melungeons and all that. But just reaction from me out there. Betty, come on in. Hey, Spencer, go back to that last one. I got to pull that thing up here in a minute. Flashback to that one. Yeah, don't let me forget that, okay? Don't let me forget that, Spence. You can hide it right now. Come on in, Betty.
Yes, I just wanted to say that Michelle has been on some kind of whatever, but she admitted she was a black man.
So, where'd you see that, Betty?
I saw it. I bet you Spencer could find it.
Okay, who told you that? Why do you believe that? Because I get accused all the time of putting out false information.
No,
I'm not questioning you, Betty. Okay,
yeah, sir.
I just hear it all the time. I just hear it all the time.
No. Nope, she actually said it, and I think I had sent it to you at one time, but it's been a while.
Thank you, dear. I'm not complaining. I get so many emails with so much good stuff, and so when I put together a show, I got to try to categorize it. Are you with me? Okay, that's what I try to do. So thanks, Betty. Thanks, Betty. Go ahead, Vinny. Go ahead, Vinny.
Yeah, I just want to second what Betty said. This was said on her own podcast with Marlon Wayans. And it's possible it was a Freudian slip, as Spencer says, but she says, as a black man, as a response, response to something, yeah.
Yeah, hey, Vinny, I don't know the last time I called myself a white woman. I mean, that just wouldn't come out of your mouth, would it? Huh?
Or you never called your wife Michael, have you?
Well, we can all say those are Freudian slips, yada yada yada. But we can say that if we want to. Hey, I want to show you this. I don't want to get off, folks. We are so programmed. We're so programmed. So programmed. And again, our history has been programmed. And you know, we start. I hate to say this because it makes some of you really really nervous. When we start getting into some of the extra biblical sources, the Ethiopian Bible and the Book of Giants and Enoch, and oh my goodness. So I want to show you this. Pull that back up here, Spencer. This popped up to me yesterday. We're talking about Tiger Woods and all the kind of stuff. Folks, this is amazing. You don't have time to go there. This is the Bible People Directory. Discover every person mentioned in the Bible. Their names in Hebrew, in Greek, their family relationships, their tribal affiliations, and scriptural references. So what? Oh yeah, hang on a second. Browse by tribe. Who are all those tribes? Hang on. Remember what we were talking about yesterday with Tiger Woods, right? They're calling him black. And he ain't black. I mean, he's part black. He ain't black. He's African-American. He's about 10 different things, right? As most of us are. Are there any of you out there who believe that you are a purebred, whatever you is? Do you really believe that? I'll say, we're British. My British line goes all the way back to 1600. Well, what about 1400? Does your British line go all the way back to 1400? Say, well, the King of England, his line goes all the way. Where? What about before the King of England became king? Where does that all come from, right? So, the point I'm trying to make, again, our theme here is who told you that and why do you believe it? And we live in an information age. You can ask anything and you'll get some information on it. How do you know if it's true? I don't know how you know it's true. How do you know if your pastor standing in a pulpit is explaining the Bible correctly to you? You know, that's the point I'm trying to make. So look at this. This was fascinating to me. Look at all these different tribes up there. Huh? And then the men, scroll down here. Here are the names of the men in the Bible. You ever heard of Adam was the first man? Ashkenaz was the son of Gomer. Ark was the son of Canaan. Arpachshad, son of Shem. Abimael was the son of Joktan. What? Click on him. Who was he? Click on him. Spencer, can you click on Abimelech? Click on it. Can't you just click on it? Yeah, who is he? Well, there's what? Abimelech in the Bible is the son of Joktan, Genesis 10:28. He's referenced in two scripture passages. What? Family related. His name is known as male. One connection. Scroll down a little bit. Let's see if we know any more about Abimelech. Huh. Family relationships. He was the son of Joktan. Now, Coach said, why are you doing this? Because, folks, there's so much we don't know. Go back to the homepage here. So much we don't know. Look at these. Look. Browse by tribe. Click on Zebulun tribe. Click down there. See, say, what's the Zebulun tribe? What the heck's that? Can you click on it? Doesn't click. Unclickable. Okay. Adam. Look at these. Well, there's Zachar. You guys know Zachar, don't you? The father of Shemua. Numbers 14. You know him? How about Zuriel, the leader of the famous of the Merari? The numbers are, huh? Folks, boy, oh boy, it seems to me that we have kind of a Cliff Notes version of the Bible. Because we know this, don't we? It would be impossible to record every historic event. You couldn't do it now. If we tried it, even right now, if we tried to do it, and right now. I was telling somebody the other day that, please, don't get, this is not vanity, okay? I'm 73 years old. I ran into somebody the other day. They said, didn't you go to Lakewood? That was my local one. Yeah, I went to Lakewood, yeah. Did you play sports? They asked me, did you? Yeah. Was your team then? Go? Still, you know how the conversation goes, right? And I don't know if you know this. I know it. I'm not going to brag about it. I was, as far as I know, still the only Lakewood High School athlete to make all league in three sports the same year. I made the all-county team in football. I made the all-county team in baseball. I made the all-county team in basketball, first team, and there ain't nobody alive who knows it other than me. You say, what does that have to do with it? It has to do with who writes the history. Who writes the history? That's what this whole thing's about. The Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Yep. Extra biblical stuff. Click on that. What'd you say, Alice? That's a good statement you're making there. I think extra biblical stuff is hogwash. You think the Lord prescribed his word in the Bible? All of it? You don't think of the Bible? Well, then Alice, what do you think when Jesus said, those are not all Israel who are of Israel? What does that mean? See, it would be simple if we could always just take it just at its word. But folks, that's why we have 46,000 denominations, because we don't take the Bible at its word. Okay, I'm going to shut up. Come on in, Mel. Come on in. Anybody? Come on. It's open today. I got some good stuff. Go ahead, Mel.
I mean, by agreeing with Alice's statement, you're discarding all of the books of Enoch, Jubilees. I mean, there are apocryphal books that Jesus quoted and referred to. So I'm not so quick to just set aside just because some men back in whenever decided that they were going to chop up the Bible. The Ethiopian Bible still stands. You know, you compare the Septuagint with the Masoretic. So, I mean, the Bible says that I believe it, and that settles it. Extra biblical stuff is hogwash. I'd have to disagree with that. Thanks, Coach.
Yeah. I'm not questioning the Bible, folks. I'm not. It's who decided what went in the Bible. What would be, folks? What would be in the Bible today if we let the people in power in Washington D.C. Write a new version of it? What would the Bible look like? So we trusted King James to do it, and that's been the Bible that we follow all along. What do we know about King James? What do we really know about King James? And did King James have the internet? Did King James have encyclopedias? Look, I want you to know this. My faith is stronger than it has ever been because I'm not afraid to ask these questions. I dig and I say, wow, that's true, but that may not be true. Huh, that's okay, cool. Why? Because You guys have all played that game called telephone, haven't you? Where you get 10 of you in a circle and you pass a secret to the person beside you, and then they pass it to the person beside them. By the time it gets to the 10th person, it's not even the same story. So what's the historic lineage that we're talking about here, right? Ray, help me out, Ray. I feel like I'm getting boxed in here. The Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. Somebody told me.
Spencer, would you mind bringing up John 21:25? That'll settle it right there. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself couldn't contain the books that should be written.
Daggone it, Ray. I hate it when you do that. Huh? There are so many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, would be enough books. Oh, hey, listen. You're not going to shake me loose from my faith in Christ. You're not going to shake me loose. Now, we may not agree theologically. We may not have the same theology. By the way, hey, Spence, that'd be a good one. Look up theology. What did Mr. Webster say about theology? Theology. Because we have 46,000 denominations. They don't believe me. You're going to show that here in a second. Theology is the science of God and divine things, or the science which teaches the existence, character, and attributes of God. Theology is his laws and government, the doctrines we are to believe, and the duties we are to practice. That's why we have 46,000 denominations. Theology consists of two branches, natural and revealed. Natural theology is the knowledge we have of God from his works, by the light of nature and reason. Revealed theology is that which is to be only learned from revelation. Moral theology teaches us the divine laws relating to our manners and actions. That is our moral duty. Folks, moral theology, that's how we're getting churches that are approving same-sex marriages. Speculative theology teaches or explains the doctrines of religion as objects of faith. Hang on, Spencer, what is speculative? Could you look that real quick? Speculative means given to speculation, meaning we don't really know. A lot of our theology is speculation, theoretical. Ideal, but not verified by fact, experience, or practice as a scheme. Folks, for us to ignore that this is part of this whole learnings curve that we're in, we'd be fools to understand that much of what we are reading is somebody else's interpretation of what the Bible's. Somebody give me a thumbs up so I know I'm not alone here. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Huh? Oh, my goodness, my goodness. So speculative is given to speculation pertaining to a view. Really? Yeah, I read this scripture, and here's what it says to me, and here's what it says to me. Okay, so scholastic theology is that which proceeds by reasoning, or which derives the knowledge of several divine things from certain established principles of faith. Why would you not believe? I'm just, good question here, Coach. What makes you think the book of Enoch is a lie? Why is the book of Enoch not in the Bible? Good question. Come on in, James. Hey, look, I want to shut up. I want to hear from you. Come on, throw that piece of meat on the table and let's cut it up and chew it here. Go ahead, James.
Hey, good morning, brother. How are you?
Hey, by the way, we don't have to agree, James. It's okay. We don't have to agree. Go ahead.
Amen. I love you, brother. Yeah, I do. I pray for you often. What you kind of say is, you know, I myself, I'm not speaking for Emma, my foundation is set. You can't change it. And it's not somebody telling me this. Jesus said it through the Holy Spirit, he would be our teacher. We don't necessarily need a teacher because he said he would teach us. But that being said,
Holy Spirit, you know, got us. Holy Spirit, got us.
We hear all. There's three voices that goes along in the world. The world's always speaking. The devil's always speaking, and the church is trying to speak.
Good. Well said. Well said.
Yeah. So, you know, Paul, you know, it's really amazing because Paul dealt with everything we deal with, everything. He dealt with the Jews. He dealt with Israel. He dealt with this. He dealt with Rome. After Paul got smacked down by the Holy Spirit and Jesus himself, you know, Paul had to go through a lot. But I'll just go to share one scripture in Ephesians. If you want to go through it, you can. It's Ephesians chapter 4, I'll just start at verse 11.
Ephesians 4, starting verse 11. Pull it up there, Spencer.
So, you know, the church is elevated. One ministry of the five. So we're going to plant pastors, as these guardian kings over our spiritual walk. And this is kind of why Jesus said, this is why this is necessarily failing. But he says, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers.
By the way, pastors and teachers is connected. Pastors and teachers.
Absolutely. Yeah,
no comma there. Go ahead.
Yeah, and you got your evangelists, you know, going out doing their thing, whatever. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building of the body of Christ. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, and to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ.
We haven't come to that unity yet, have we, James? We haven't come to that unity.
Far from it. So this verse 14 is really important as to what you're saying. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried out by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects in him who is the head, even Christ. And you go on and talks about what Messiah did for the church. So this is the denominational thing that we see in this country, in this world. It's all these doctrines, every doctrine that doesn't line up necessarily with the Word of God. And you can say, well, you know, there's the Catholics and there's the Lutherans and if you read John 17, the Holy Spirit, it's Jesus' last prayer for his church and last prayer for his disciples. His desire for the ecclesia was to walk in unity, but the devil messes it up. Amen.
Amen, baby. Amen, baby. So hang on a second. Hang on a second. Boys, I got some good stuff up there. Look. Does the Bible talk about giants?
Okay, I found this on the web for Does the Bible Talk About Giants? Check it out.
Giants in the Bible. Where does the Bible mention them? Giants in the Bible. Answers in Genesis. What's the biblical explanation for the giants from David and Goliath? Aren't you interested in that? I mean, we all know David and Goliath. We all know that story. Was Goliath a freak? Or was there a bunch of giants? I don't know. Hey, Siri, where are giants mentioned in the Bible? Boy, she's looking for that one. Siri, where are giants mentioned in the Bible? I don't know why I'm not hearing it. Giants in the Bible, where are they? It's all over there. Folks, do we talk about that in the Christian world today? Hey, Alice, come on in here. Instead of just doing snarky little comments, come on in, Alice. Come on in. I'd like to hear from you, Alice. Just click up there. And you said that you thought this was a place to encourage and grow in faith and not destroy by questioning our faith. So, hey, Alice, who told you that and why do you believe them? That's what we do here.
I believe that the Lord left his word in the Bible, and it isn't written by men.
Yes, ma'am. I believe that.
If we start questioning the Bible and attacking it, we're no better than anybody else, you know, all the other atheists that are doing it right now.
Alice, are we able to attack interpretations of the Bible? That's why we have 46. That's why we have 46,000 different denominations. You know, the Baptists don't agree with the Charismatics. You understand that, don't you? And the idea of speaking in tongues. Not everybody agrees with the same.
Only the Holy Spirit is going to be able to make us one.
I'm with you. There are people in here who have never heard the other side. That's what we do here. And I feel bad if you think I'm trying to get you to question the Bible. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. I want to know the truth, because only the truth will make us free. That's what I want to know.
Yeah, but I'm not so sure that having extra biblical things, you know, and attacking the authority of Scripture is the way to go about it. Most of these denominations, that's exactly what they do, and they attack the deity of Christ even.
So, Alice, which denomination is right?
I don't know. This lady made a movie. It was called Make Us One. And it was amazing. I don't know if you've seen it.
I haven't.
But the Lord, before he went to the cross, he prayed that we would become one as he is one with the Father.
Amen. Are we?
No, but if we ever do, it's going to be the work of the Holy Spirit, and it's going to be heaven on earth.
Amen. Amen. So here's where I am with it. From my perspective, if what they're telling me isn't true, I want to know it. If what they're telling me is simply speculation of someone, I want to know that. I don't. Hey, folks, I have to tell you this. Questioning the Bible makes my faith stronger. Because I can defend it. I can defend it. And I'm not afraid to ask questions, because you know what's going to happen? You're going to bump into somebody that's going to have a question, and you ain't going to be able to answer it. And I can, to the best of my knowledge. Best I can. I am so happy that you're in here, Alice. And this is a place to grow and encourage in our faith, not to destroy it. Hey, Spencer, just to make my point again, how many denominations? Denominate means to divide. To divide. There are how many? 49,000 different Christian denominations. Hey, Ray, do they all agree? No. Hey, Spencer, click on show more. 1.3 billion are Catholics. 800 million are Baptists and Methodists and Lutherans and Presbyterians and Anglican. Eastern and Orthodox are 300 million more. Restoration and Independence are 35 million. Hey, folks, you really believe they all believe the same thing? Every one of those would say their biblical position. No. Every one of them would say that their position is biblical. It's biblical. 49,000 Christian denominations. Man, I love this show. I love this. Who haven't been in here? I'm going to start at the bottom and I'm going to work up. Dave Allison, come on in.
Yeah, thanks, Coach. Yeah, I appreciate the dialogue, and I thought it was interesting. And Alice, this is no I'm not criticizing you, but I thought it was interesting when you spoke, and thanks for speaking. But you said that you were questioning the extra biblical stuff, but then you turned right around and said you watched a movie that encouraged you and gave you some understanding. So that's a great example there of those things do. And Coach, I tell people, you know, the Bible's the fundamentals. I dealt with mathematics my whole career. And there's fundamental basics of mathematics that you cannot violate, right? And then what I did, I spent my whole career working with other people, trying to make them stay within those fundamentals of those basic fundamentals of mathematics that they couldn't violate. And so we use those fundamentals to decide the way we were going forward, whether they violated that. And that's why we use the fundamentals maybe of the King James Bible. And as we go out and interpret other things, we ask ourselves, does that violate those basic principles? And I think that's all we have to do is make sure we have that good, strong, fundamental, basic understanding, and then use that and the Holy Spirit to help guide us what's right and what's wrong. And so that's why, you know, that's all we do. When we walk out into the world every day, we have these basic fundamentals. And how are we going to apply those to the circumstances that we face today?
Amen. Right? Amen. So, Dave, I'm talking about from a knowledge basis, right? So the Bible, if I understand this, King James 16:12, is it a 16:12? Is that what, 16:13? 16:12. How many years ago that? That's a long time. That's 500. Okay, long time ago. When they wrote this King James Bible, what did they know from a technological standpoint that we know today? Did they understand sound waves, light waves? Yeah, did they understand some of the things that we've discovered through technology about how the world operates? Did they understand that? No. They gave us a generic view of it. We didn't understand. In fact, we don't even understand today the different heavens. Spencer, how many heavens are there? Type that in there. How many heavens? People say, well, I want to go to heaven when I die. Okay, which one? Which one? The number of heavens depends on the religious or cosmological tradition. See, there you go. Christianity, Bible believes there's three heavens. Did you know that? You know that? Christianity teaches the Bible has three heavens. They represent the atmosphere, the sky, where the birds are. There's a celestial expanse, outer space, and the spiritual, the third heaven, which is the dwelling place of God. But Islam doesn't believe in that, and Judaism doesn't believe in that, and Mormonism doesn't believe in that. So it all depends on your religious or cosmological tradition. Now, I'm going to tell you this right now, here in this huddle, right here, right now, there are people who believe in the power of the Holy Spirit with the evidence and speaking in tongues, and there are those who don't. Would anybody disagree with that? Anybody want to disagree with that?
Boom.
Huh? We don't even agree on that. And we have people who are Baptist church who would never set foot in a charismatic church. In a charismatic church, one who believes in the speaking in tongues and the gifts of the spirits wouldn't be welcome in a Baptist church, probably a Lutheran church. Either. So, folks, this doesn't have anything to do with whether the Bible's true. It has to do with man's interpretation of it. Benny, boom me there. That'd be a boom. It has to do with man's interpretation of the Word of God. And that doesn't have to do with the Word of God.
Boom.
And it's all, we're going to get it all. At some point, sometime, this is all going to make the seventh heaven. Where's the seventh heaven? Where are, right now, where are the angels and demons? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits and high places. Where are those? Well, we can't see them. But it's a real dimension. We just can't see it. We're in time and space. There ain't no time and space outside this dimension. I can't explain it. But the Bible teaches it. And for me to talk about it, I think it's okay. I think it's okay. Giants, Genesis 6, quickly, please. Please, Genesis 6. Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. Come on. Genesis 6. Came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto men, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men. They were fair, and they took wives. All of which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit's not always going to strive with man. And there were giants in the earth in those days and also after. Hmm. Bible calls them Nephilim. There was a book written called The Book of Giants. Click on that, Spencer. See if you can find that. Look, I'm not trying to be argumentative. This builds my faith. Book of Giants. Click the Book of Giants. What's it say about the Book of Giants? Book of Giants is an apocryphal book which expands upon the Genesis narrative of the Hebrew Bible in a similar manner to the Book of Enoch. Folks, so we say, okay, this is not God-breathed, inspirational Bible, but it's extra-biblical and explains what was going on. It's important to note that the Book of Giants is not considered inspired scripture by traditional biblical standards, but rather a non-canonical, a secular book, whatever, rather a non-canonical creative expansion of biblical themes. Genesis 6 tells there were giants in the earth in those days and also afterwards, and then there's a Book of Giants explaining it. Huh? And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and repent the Lord he ever made him. And the Lord said, I'm going to get rid of these guys. I'm going to destroy man. That's why the flood came, because there were giants. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just, perfect man, his generation. Noah walked with God. How'd that work? What was that like? Ray, come on in. I'm sorry. Hey, folks. This so builds my faith. It doesn't weaken it. It so builds my faith. Go ahead, Ray.
To address Alice, we're not attacking the Bible. We're expanding the knowledge that's outside of it. It'd be crazy to carry around every single book that could be written because we couldn't carry it. God was, in his wisdom, put it into the 66. Then you know what he did? Here, I've listed 16 different scripture verses that say, is it not written in this book? Is it not written in the book of the Kings? Is it not written here? Well, why did he put all that in there? He said, you want to know more about the giants? Well, it is written here. Go look at that book and you'll find out more about it. So
in other words, Ray, you're saying that the King James Bible quotes these other books.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it certainly gives it some credibility to me, right? Somewhere along in the Bible it says that evil men have crept in unaware. They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. Evil men crept in? Folks, don't you understand that evil men have crept in and corrupted Christianity just in our lifetime? The Word of Faith movement of, what's that guy's name? Oral Roberts? The name it and claim it and grab it and blab it of Joel Osteen? Rick Warren? Come on now. Come on. Why? Because knowledge is increasing. That's what the Bible tells us. So therefore, as our knowledge increases, our ability to speculate and question increases as well, because we're standing on a firm, if you're hearing me say the Bible isn't true, I don't even know what to tell you. Go on in, James.
I kind of see you kind of we are on when we pray. Well, I guess we are sure to all name it and claim it.
We are, brother.
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, what Jesus said in Mark 11, chapter 20 is really a good faith chapter. And he says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive, do not doubt in your heart, you will receive. If so, you name it. Believe it and claim it. It's yours. So, but that being said, this is why the first church was so unified, because they were persecuted to a point that where there was no rift that would come into the body of Christ.
They had to go from house to house and hide from the authorities, didn't they?
That's right. So what is coming, I do believe, against the church in the United States is this persecution, and it's going to scatter those. Paul saw it as the falling away. But once this persecution comes, then these folks, as a matter of fact, these 44 million thousand denominations will be part of those who persecute the real remnant, those who love Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Dave Allison.
Yeah, Coach. When you brought up tongues, that's a great example there, because there's fundamentally, there's no argument that the Bible confirms there was people are speaking in tongues.
If I speak with the tongues of angels and have not love, isn't that what it says?
Right.
Go ahead.
But yet at the same time, to your point, Paul had to go to Corinthians and said, okay, listen, you're breaking the fundamental basics of how you apply that, right? And he had to reel them back in. Coach, if I get pulled over by a police officer and he comes up to my window and I roll the window down and I start speaking to him in tongues, you know what he's going to tell me? I'm going to interpret that.
He's going to give you a sobriety test.
No. He's going to give me an interpretation. He says, young man, he says, looks like you're bound for a prison ministry.
That's hilarious. I'm going to try that, Dave. I'll let you know how it works.
That's good. That's good. Cool. So, oh, my God. I want you guys to know this. First of all, I'm not trying to question your faith at all. I'm trying to build it. And if we will not admit, those of us in this queue will not admit that we don't all agree, I don't know what to tell you. 46,000 denominations do not believe the Bible. They don't all believe the same thing. Why is this so hard for us to get? Mel Roberts, come on in. First timer, maybe. Come on in, Mel.
No, I'm just not in Alabama this time. I'm still in Texas.
Okay.
I look at this, and I'm studying right now the Ethiopian Bible, and it is very different than the Bible that we have that was handled by the Council of Nicaea. Uh-huh. So how is it that those men had the right to restrict the books that ended up in our Bible? Because the additional text is quite extraordinary. And I think it's a matter of conditioning, because I can tell you, I heard this a million times in the many churches that I've attended. It is the complete and inerrant word of God. Oh. Well, that is a conditioning statement for us to believe that they have all the answers. And I don't think they do. Now, I think it's a matter of us having that spiritual contact with the Spirit.
Sometimes, Mel, I think the Bible, that boy, this will get me in trouble, is situational. I think so. I don't think you can universally apply, just claim it. Just claim it. I don't know if that's universal.
Oh, that nailed it. That is a good commentary.
Right. So it's like going to a doctor and he says, man, you need some medicine. Okay. And then you decide what medicine you want to take. You got 50 of them. So I think I'll try this one. Right? It's the same thing. It doesn't make the Bible not true. It makes the application of it misapplied. That's just the way that I would say
it. Well said. Very well said.
Think about the name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it ministries that have destroyed America. And they all started out with a bit of truth, man. Huh? Bible can show you right there. Huh? You have not because you ask not. Well, explain that to somebody who's asked to be healed and doesn't get healed. Evidently, that doesn't work. He said, well, it's the sovereignty of God. Well, of course, it's all the sovereignty of God. And we try to take scripture. Come on now. And we like to take scripture and plug it into our belief. Oh, yeah, well, we do. Oh, yeah, we do.
They bastardized it. Yeah. For sales. For money.
I believe this for money. Right here. Here's the Bible says it right here, right? Take it out of context. Oh my goodness. I need more time today. I got some other, I didn't even get to some of this good stuff yet. Mel, thanks for jumping in here. Johnny, come in, and then Lauren. Go ahead, Johnny.
Yeah, I just wanted to say there's definitely a wall, that barrier between the spiritual and our physical. That's the battle right there.
Yes.
That's the battle. And we keep bumping into the wall. We're just bumping into it.
I'll say that again, Johnny, because some people weren't listening. Say that again.
I just said there's definitely a battle. There's a wall that divides the spiritual from our physical, we are right now. And that's the battle. Amen. The battle is we can't get there until we can't do it.
It ain't a physical thing, is it? It ain't a physical thing.
And it's frustrating.
We can't manipulate God. We cannot manipulate God through our prayers. We can't do that. Huh? We can't do that. And really, we're kind of taught we are, all right? Huh? Lorianne, thanks, Johnny. Go ahead, Lorianne.
Good morning. Hey, Coach, I just sent you the scripture verse from 2 Timothy about showing yourself approved, right? You're supposed to search it. You're supposed to seek it out. You're not so, and I mean, you bring it up all the time. You know, we're deceived, you know, by the teaching of man. You know,
like somebody else told us, right? Who told you that and why do you believe him? That's
exactly. I mean, if you don't ask questions and you just, you know, go back to, you know, sit down, be seen and not heard, you know, and do as I say, not as I do, and not questioning it, then it's
okay.
Not going out there, right? And like even like and it really bothers me when everybody calls Thomas doubting Thomas. Thomas wasn't doubting. Thomas was showing himself approved. Thomas said, "I hung out with you goofballs. I'm not going to believe you. I'm going to see it for myself." He was showing himself approved. He went and saw Jesus.
Right. That's right. So folks, let me go here. Spencer, I'll give you $1 if you find this for me. Find me some pictures of bishops. Bishops. Pictures of bishops. Hey, folks. Can I say this without you guys getting mad? Why don't all ministers wear costumes like this? I don't have a costume. Those African bishops, they're wearing a costume. Look at the guys down there. Look at these guys wearing costumes. Why aren't all ministers wearing costumes? Scroll down, Spencer Moreham. Boy, look at them. They got those funny red hats on there. What are those red hats? Those long robes. Oh, look at those guys. They all got the same color hat. Where'd they get those hats? Where did I get me one of those hats? Folks, these are traditions of men. Mark Trump.
Love it, Coach. I love this example. This is just over the top. You figure the Sadducees and Pharisees, pompous people, challenged Jesus in the town square, and he unloaded on them, Coach.
Yep.
In their costumes. In their costumes. In front of everyone. I mean, come on. That's our Jesus. Now, I'd like to address this Bible thing. There's at least two big, big, big discrepancies in believing in the King James Version. One is all the books weren't there. All the data wasn't found yet. It wasn't even found. So how could it have been there?
Folks, the Book of Enoch.
It wasn't there.
They had never seen those I can't even say it. Those apocryphal.
The point is they were as authentic as whatever they had available. They just didn't have it to include to look at. The other thing is the Bible is written in Hebrew and Greek. Sorry, it wasn't written in English, guys. It didn't have contractions. It didn't have periods and commas. Okay?
Yep.
All of that was fabricated by English people. English people. Nothing to do with God's word, which was his word, wasn't written, it was spoken. And people went quickly and wrote it, Coach, and then they had this little manuscript on their shelf of one of the prophets named, Ruth. No one else had Ruth. No one had Job, Coach. Only a few people had Job.
Right.
So now you got all the books of the Bible and these little manuscripts that people cherished and they assembled in their communities and had three or four of them. And then they had eight of them in a big town. They recopied them. And then they had 10 or 20. Amen. And then a bunch of Jews grabbed 40 of them and took off to the hills And then there were none except for some others somebody copied over here. And then King James rounds them all up.
No internet.
No internet. So King James rounds them all up that are public, puts them in a place, and, you know, in his corrupt self trying to redeem his life, makes people do stuff for himself. Himself. And then you got all these written Hebrew manuscripts out there that people had on their shelves worshiping. You know, God's word written by people walking around never, never made it to the King James location, much less the book. And then they translated it. Talking about mistakes. Yeah. Talking about this. Then they translated it to English from Hebrew. Why don't we read it in Hebrew? Why don't we go back and look at the transliteration? Because that's what it meant. One Hebrew symbol may have three meanings in context. Right. That's not in the Bible, Coach. King James didn't do that.
1611.
God's overseeing his word, which is on those manuscripts. As close
he's written
as we
his
can
word
tell,
in man. Your heart that you might not see.
In your heart, Coach. So I'm saying don't worship anything physical. Mm-hmm. We are supposed to worship Jesus. If you worship the King James over Jesus, then you're missing it.
That's right.
You just miss Jesus. You're worshiping a piece of paper that King James wrote, not Jesus. Amen.
The word of God's living.
That's just the way a simple hillbilly in the Appalachian.
That's what I see it too.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
Folks, again, I'm running out of time. Here's the question I would put to every one of us out there. Okay? If the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Why are there 46,000 denominations?
Boom.
Because it comes down to interpretation of what the Bible says. Right? I mean, it can be 1610. 1610. This is 2000. What is this? 2026? They wrote it in 1610? And the words meant the same then as they mean now? Come on. That's why we have to have the Holy Spirit guide us into all truth. Say, Lord, I read the Bible and I say, Lord, tell me what that says. I can read it. The breath of our nostrils, the anointed of the Lord was taken in the pits of whom we said, under his shadow we shall live among the heathen. Lord, tell me what that means. Holy Spirit guides me into all truth, not just the word itself, the application of the word. You say, well, Coach, then you get the Bible is contradicting itself. No, 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 no. It has different applications, different situations written to. I'm 73 and a half. I've never had more trust in the Bible and the things of God than I do right now at this point in my life. And I'm not afraid to question any of it. Because if I got it wrong, did anybody out there ever have this happen to you? You go out and do something. My wife wanted me to go out and pull out some weeds. And so I go out and pull out some weeds and she comes walking out. She says, why did you pull those out? I said, you told me to pull out the weeds. Yeah, but that wasn't a weed. See, I didn't understand her description. The word wasn't wrong. My understanding, my interpretation of what she said to me was wrong. Wow. Hey, I'm going to tell you this. This is old Coach Dave here. Whatever he says unto you, do it. And we don't. We don't. Oh, I don't have time to get to all of you in here. Joe Thomas, real quick, Joe. Come on, real quick.
That Joe Allen is always...
What?
In history, try to change other men's thoughts.
Yep.
Look at the nine crusades we had that the church was trying to change other men's thoughts.
46, Joseph, 46,000 denominations where people do not believe the same thing and all call themselves Christians. See you tomorrow.